Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Peterson of the Interstate of Music podcast once again. And I've got a guest that I would say might wear more hats than anybody I've had on the show in the past. And we'll get into some of that. But before we do, I want to introduce him and kind of find out, you know, what his journey was to get into this world of music, if you will. This is Jeff Salzman of IMC and some other hats we'll talk about. But welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
You bet, man. So where, let's start off kind of, where are you an East Coast guy?
I'm born and bred in Long Island, New York. So I'm about, my house is about 30 minutes from New York City. And my office is about 45 minutes from New York City.
Long Island, that is fantastic. I actually have a band coming in literally today. We're live streaming a band by the name of Card Reader, a pop punk band that won our Interstate Music Awards. I didn't realize that how many people I'm starting to know from Long Island. I didn't know it was that big that I would know this many people. So pretty cool. How have you been out there like your whole life?
I've been out there just to give you a, like from, let's say, Queens.
Yeah.
To Montauk. The population is over 3 million people.
Oh, so I really don't know that many people.
It's a lot of people. It's a big invested, and it's a lot of, you know, people don't realize how big it is. And it's from, let's say, Montauk to, you know, where the city is, it's almost 3.5 hours.
Unbelievable. And the reason why I know Montauk, for the most part, is from Barstool Sports, Portnoy is, yeah, the El Presidente, David Portnoy is always in Montauk and basically makes it sound like it's the best place on the planet to go hang out with. Is Montauk is everything he's saying it is?
I haven't been there in a while. Cause it's so far, it's not far from me, but it's,
I get it,
far enough. I can be on my own beach in 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'd go to that one. Go to that one.
I can go to that one, or I can go to like other Hamptons in 40 minutes. If I had to go to Montauk right now, it would take me 2.5 hours.
And nothing's worth driving 2.5 hours, man.
And traffic, exactly.
Yeah, especially that traffic. So when you were, you know, growing up, when did music start to become something that you actually started to find a passion about? I mean, was it at a really young age, or did you kind of grow into it? What was that? When did it start for you?
So for me, my family has been in the business since 1938. Cool. My grandfather's uncle started a company called Sorkin Music, which started in Philadelphia. And my grandfather was 17 years old, and Paul Sorkin, which owned Sorkin Music, who was almost like a KMC, if you want to say, or a St. Louis Music of today.
Yep, sure.
A big jobber, tremendous, really well known in the industry, had Hofner Beatle basses, had Vox amplifiers, had, sure. But they were in Philadelphia, so they wanted to move to New York because most of the wholesalers were on Union Square in New York City because of the Elizabeth Port. Yep. So they moved with my grandfather. My grandfather was 17 or 18 years old, and they started then. Then they moved into Long Island, started manufacturing amps, Vox, keyboards, other types of products. And we were the first, my grandfather was the first person to bring in the karaoke into the United States. So he was a distributor of that. So there's a lot of history within my family, from the 30s to the 60s to the 70s. And then when the industry wasn't doing so well, or when Fender and Gibson took over the industry back in the 70s,
sure.
Grandpa and my father said, okay, we just are going to go back to jobbing and wholesaling. And that's when they bought a company called EMMC, Entertainment Music, and we had our own guitars, amps, drums, and distributed all around the country, that type of business.
Yep.
And how I got involved, for example, we had, our house was 15 minutes from my dad's office. And as a kid, I'd always go and play all the instruments, but I, from a very young age, I played the violin when I was three in the Suzuki program. Wow. And then all the way until 12th grade. But I love sports also, so I wasn't as passionate like everybody else. And I think for me personally, like Jake is a huge drummer, or people, my good friend of mine is a tuba player, or one of the salespeople here that I run is a violinist. I don't play any instruments, but I've been around it all my life. And sure, I feel sometimes that's an advantage not to be a musician, but have that background of musician in you. So you have business and musician at the same time. So I sometimes, why you say I'm independent, is because I can shuffle so many things at once and not really say, oh, well, this instrument sounds terrible. And sometimes you have to think, hey, what makes it best for this market, instead of just saying, hey, this instrument is not for us. And you got to make sure the quality is there, but you also got to make sure that the market's there. So to me, I think, yes, music is a passion for me. I love it, but I also love other hobby. You know, I have other hobbies. So at a young age, I did play the violin. And played up until high school, but I also played football. I also played, I ran track. I played soccer. So I did everything in a mix.
Right.
And then when I went to Ohio State University, and was a business marketing degree there, and then graduated, in 1995. And I really didn't know where to go because I didn't have a direction. So my dad said,
you mean like every other kid that graduates college?
My kid right now. But I graduated, my dad said, can you come into the business? It would be nice to have three generations in the business at the same time, because my grandfather was getting older. I said, cool. Of course. He said, if you want to go in, it will be really nice, and we can, all three of us can be together. And I said, great, I'll do it for a couple of years and think about it. And then so I walked into the office thinking that, oh, okay, I'll have a nice desk and chair. My dad said, go buy an apartment, go rent an apartment in New Jersey, and here are the files, and I don't want to see you in the office ever, and try and find some business.
So he sucked you in with the family warm fuzzy, and then he said, hey kid, get to work.
Basically, I was on the road 6 days a week. I was in the office maybe once a month. I was a road warrior. I learned the business that way. I knew nothing about music. I knew nothing about how to sell product in terms of on the road. So that was I would go into stores. I would literally first go into, like, let's say, a convenience store, go to get their yellow pages.
Yeah.
Like, they obviously back then we didn't have cell phones.
Yep.
And I'd rip out the music page out of the yellow pages and start code calling. And every day I would do that and walk into stores. And the best thing about music stores, and I don't know if you know this in other industries, but people love to talk about what they know.
Oh, and totally.
I would just listen and eat it up. And every day I would just learn and sell at the same time.
The two jobs that I had, number one, I was a outside salesperson for a tool distributorship, and I knew nothing about tools. But what I did know how to do is go in and ask questions and admit that I didn't know exactly what they needed, and have them kind of spell out and teach me the application that they needed this tool for, go out on a job site, have them show me. And when I said I was going to get back to them with the answers, you know, I went to the manufacturers, I found the right products for them, I came back to them when I said I was going to, and I became the number one salesperson at that company. And then 6 months later, became the sales manager at that company, coming in knowing nothing about tools. And I think you bring up a great point. Now, there's multiple ways to be in an industry. One is to be in the music industry, especially. One is to be the musician and just be passionate and like live it, and it's your life and it's everything about you. But you know it the way you know it, and you kind of form your opinion about the way you learned it and the way you live it and the way you do it. Where where I came at it without blinders on in any way, shape, or form, zero experience, and learned from everybody else's way of looking at it, and then kind of digested it all and started to form my band of knowledge around a whole bunch of people's opinions, needs, wants, and what they were looking for, versus just going in with a forced thought myself. And I became very, very strong in that industry. And then I also bought, I grew up in the liquor industry. My dad was president of 3 liquor distributorships, vice president of Jim Beam. Right out of college, I went to go work for Jim Beam, but then ended up buying a bar. And I had never bartended a day in my life. I knew the industry. I knew the costing. I knew the promotion, the marketing aspect of it, but I never bartended. The first day I opened my bar, I had somebody come up to me and order a brandy old-fashioned sweet. We're in Wisconsin. That's a big thing. I had no clue how to make it. I went and I grabbed a glass. I go over to the tap handle, and I pour him a Miller Lite, and I put it in front of him. He looks at me like I'm the craziest person on the planet, and he says, I ordered a brandy old-fashioned sweet. And I go, oh, I know. He goes, then why did you give me a tap of Miller Lite? And I go, because I know that's going to taste like Miller Lite. And I know if I make you a brandy old-fashioned sweet, you're going to think I'm the worst bartender in the world because it's going to taste terrible. So I'll make you a deal. If you come around the backside of this bar and you teach me how to make it and teach me how to make every other drink you know how to make, I'll have you drink free all day. He absolutely loved helping me, loved teaching me how to do it, and was a regular at my bar ever since. And I learned how to bartend by being a bartender from customers that understood because I was honest about it and they loved it. And so to your point, people want to talk about what they know, what they do, and share those experiences because in and of itself, people want you to be successful in what you're doing if you're caring about what they're doing. I think that's just, that's human nature if you can get to there.
So you also have to find this, which you have a lot of experience in terms of pretty much a parallel experience in terms of the tool business. I found also finding the right person to talk to when you're in that store itself. That's the most, in my opinion, it was the key element to my success. Finding Jake at Interstate or finding the repair person in a store that's a huge rental company. Yep. Understanding what the bridge needs to be or anything like that. So it was a very humble experience, but very, it was fun because I really didn't know anything about the industry, and that's how I learned it. And
did you ever go back and ask your dad, say, Dad, did you just send me out there to do it because you knew that was the best way for me to learn? Or did you just send me out there because you just needed me to drive some business?
I think he needed, so he would always, my dad passed away in 2003, but I've asked him many times, and he's never said anything, but he said it to other people that he needed me out there because he wanted the pulse of the industry to understand what people wanted and needed. He didn't really need me on the road, but he felt that I was strong enough in terms of my personality that I can tell him what's working and what's not working. And that was the best way back then how to really feel the pulse of the industry. Yeah, you have NAMM and you have other, trade shows, but really being on the road and understanding. I did New Jersey, Philadelphia, Washington, Delaware, and parts of Virginia. And it was fun. It was good.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, the trade shows, they have their place. But the people that are in those booths are trying to talk to a whole bunch of people and they're spread thin and everybody's glad handing everybody. And everybody's like, being super nice and, everybody's on the hype. It's different when you go into their day to day in a normal Tuesday at 2 p.m, 4 p.m. at the end of the day, 8 p.m. when they first got in. You get to know people differently when they're in their environment during their work day. That's when you find out what they're truly wanting, needing, capable of, and what that relationship can grow into. And I think that that's so key. And it's getting harder in today's world to to do it the way we both kind of grew into our careers and grew into who we are as people. It is harder. I mean, cold calling is tough when it's just over the phone, and Zoom relationships through video conferencing, it's harder. It's not the same. So there's going to be an adaptation that's going on in the future here. But it's something that, you know, I look back on it and I'm like, man, I was lucky to go through it the way I did. And I feel that there's got to be some way that we get the next generation, you know, coming up that has some way of kind of having that same type of experience in some way. And I don't know if we're going to be able to say, hey, grab these files and go out there and do it. But there's got to be some way we've got to find to give those experiences back, you know, to the next generation in this industry.
So one of my key things that I do is private labeling and branding for my customers. And one of the stories that really, I was on the road and a customer called Zass Music, which is now Music 123, which is now Woodwind Brass One and Guitar Center and blah, blah,
right.
blah,
yep.
that stuff. Zaff's, the Zaff brothers really, one of them, which Steven is the brains and Richard is the other one that's not in the industry anymore, but Rich and I walked into a store, and at the time they were just starting their internet company. And he said, Jeff, I want to make a brand, and what can we do? I said, well, my family and I can backtrack. We owned a factory in Romania, my family. We started out in Romania in 1985 when it was communist, and we built the factory up to have our own product. My dad at the time, my grandfather at the time, felt at that time that everything was coming out of Germany was the good stuff, and then the really bad stuff was coming out of Singapore and Japan, and China wasn't even there yet.
Sure.
And they wanted to find a solution that they can find a European product at a low-end price. And my dad, I think, was very smart at the time and went into Romania at the time when it was really not built up like it is today.
Right.
And owned and built up a factory and built up our own brands and product and all that stuff. So I spoke to Rich, and Rich said to me, he goes, let's figure out how we can make these names. I said, why don't we just look at a map of Romania and we'll pick the names out of those? And he says, oh, that's a great idea. And we just picked out, and we did the same thing. And that it was just as easy as that. But it, to me, why he wanted to do that with me is because of our relationship. And I feel industry, and again, I haven't been in any other industry, but I feel this industry is more important because it's so small. Relationships and visiting are key.
Yep.
To solidifying an order. You can be on a Zoom call, you can be on a Teams meeting, and you can have a phone call all day long, but once in a while you have to see that person in person to really make sure that their relationship is still like it used to be, like it was.
And I think what, you know, part of that next step of it, you know, it does get to that consumer, because when you're having those conversations, everything is based on putting something together, building something that is for the musician intended. What's going to be better quality, same quality, a price point that they're going to be able to afford to stay, you know, loving their passion, invest in a new instrument, you know, add an instrument to, you know, to their repertoire, all of it. That's that conversation that you're having in those moments with those partners. There's so much that it's not just about how can we make something that we all make a bunch of money on. The conversations that you're talking about, that's like the last thing that happens is that. It's what do we need? What do the musicians need? What is the product that they're looking for? What's missing in the marketplace? Where do we fit? And then at the end, you hope you make money when you put the pricing together and the costing together. But so much of that partnership that you're talking about, the relationship, so much of the musician is part of that conversation.
I think it's also important in the industry, and I keep on bringing this up.
Yeah.
To surround, you know, I think a coach does this also, like in sports, and I relate to it very well. To surround yourself with people of knowledge.
Yes.
And because you don't know everything. And I have people that know are musicians. I have people that are technicians. I have people that, so I can go on a whim. I have people that own multiple stores. I know Jake that you guys own to surround myself with people of different knowledge, I think is just as important as your own knowledge.
It truly is. In fact, that's how we got our knowledge. I mean, we've got to stop thinking that our level of intelligence is all based on ourselves. I mean, it's the teachers, it's the, you know, the books, it's the this, it's the that. Yeah, it's our direction and our, let's call it just give a shit when we're going through the learning process. But, you know, to go through, I always say, if you go through life without blinders on, you're going to be, you know, that well-rounded, more understanding person in life, because we don't know it all. And we don't know what's next. You know, that the trends in any industry, if they're going to stay, I mean, we just went through a crazy time, you know, in the last 18 months, and people had to adapt. Manufacturers are having to adapt and try to figure out, okay, we had this huge surge in business. We're running low on inventory. What are we ramping up in? What was hot? What wasn't? You know, what's next? And to try to do it logically, fiscally responsible, but also what's the next trend in style music? And it gives you those opportunities. That's, you know, without blinders on, you start to become a company, a person, a business that can help guide, you know, what the future looks like versus reacting to what the future is.
I like what, you know, in the beginning, it's almost a year now, I think, that your company and I
just started.
Just under a year. And the first conversation I had with Jake was about the lifestyle of your website and not just a website. It's starting to get there and it's starting to feel this way, that way.
Yep.
But I like the idea of how, because you want to tell a story of how this product got here and how, what makes it different than everybody else's. You know, to me, that was such an intriguing way of selling a product, instead of just selling it. Here's the stand. Thank you very much. It's $30 and move on.
Right. And I appreciate you noticing that because literally that's why even this podcast, Interstate of Music, I don't want these podcasts to be infomercials for brands. I want people that are musicians, music lovers, of all types to get to know the people in the industry that are doing this for them and with them and, you know, and being out there, because it is a connective industry. It's a personality. It's a person to person. It's a passion driven industry. And I'm not going to go out there and think I'm going to compete with all the big guys and spend all these marketing dollars, because it's funny. I was saying this to somebody the other day, this industry is very much map driven, where prices are prices and manufacturers want their product to be sold at $799 or $895 or $495. And that's what they want everybody to sell it for. So how do I, as a company, go out there and compete against huge companies selling at the same price as they are? And really, it was really simple for us when we came into this. And we basically said, I am going to care about the musician first. The musicians are what matters. We want to go out there, educate, motivate, and inspire musicians so that our site becomes a place that they go to because they want to go to it. It's a social world out there, and we want to be a socially engaging platform for musicians, elevating them personally, elevating their music, elevating the different genres. And then, yeah, we sell stuff. You know, they know we're a website they can buy stuff on, but I don't want to sit there and go 20% off, 15% off, you know, buy now, get this free. I'm not going to be like the next used car lot down the street. The way we're trying to sell to people, because I'm not trying to sell to people. I'm trying to be there for musicians and music lovers and people that are, you know, looking for that knowledge and inspiration and connecting to the manufacturers and the people in the industry. Because I've grown to really love the people in the industry as I've gotten to know everybody. And I think that's really important. And I love that you bring that up, because it's what we're trying to do. It's what we're going to continue to try to be. And we're doing it for the musicians. You know, we got a lot of grief for shutting the brick and mortar store down. When it's like, we didn't shut it down. We acquired the intellectual property and just went a different direction with it. But so many people are like upset with us. And I'm like, we're doing it different. We're going to be there for you. I have no problem with somebody going to another brick and mortar store, 'cause that's the way they want to buy product. I'm totally cool with it. In fact, I love brick and mortar stores myself. I get it. But we're going to do it different. We're going to be there for people that want to shop the way we're putting it out there. So thank you for noticing that and giving me a little props on that.
You probably generated more employees than Interstate, you know, the Casio Music Interstate store itself anyway. You know, people look at it that way. You're probably generating more income for the area than Interstate. No, so, you know, people don't look at it that way, but closing a retail store doesn't always mean it's like when, like,
we're not giving up on anybody.
Amazon fulfillment centers are coming into town and everyone's angry about it, but they don't look at the big picture. They look at just like, oh my God, they're taking away the business. And oh no, they're generating income for local areas, and they're also raising the minimum wage to people that need it. So I don't
it's those same consumers that are going on Amazon every single day and buying a new cord or a new having laundry detergent shipped to their house. They don't look at themselves as like upsetting the local grocery store that's going to go out of business if they keep shopping on Amazon. It's funny how it gets so passion driven. I love that passion, but we've gotten some hate notes on social media, man, but we're fighting through it, because we know our mission is well intended, and it's going to be there, and we're going to get there, and it's been a great journey for us as well, and partners like you make it just so worth it. Tell me some of the brands that you're most excited about right now, and some of the things that you've got coming down the pipeline, because you know, it's fun to work with you on some of these projects. But also, you know, I want you to kind of talk about some of the ones that are like really close to your heart that you've got coming down the pipeline here.
So the Marade line itself, that you worked with Marade Nesbitt with.
She's amazing.
With her. So Jake knows this, but that's very close to my heart, because myself and her really built the brand. She built her own brand, but the actual instruments, she came to my office and she tested a bunch of instruments, and really we tested with strings, and my repair guys raised the bridge, lowered the bridge. We really took the time to, in the beginning, to really understand what her needs were, not just like, we're going to sell you a product, you need to put your name on it. We really took the time to say, hey, these are the instruments that we're looking at. These are the strings that we're looking at. These are the products. What do you think? And how can we improve it? And really talk to the musician, which she is. Yep. I'm not there. I know how to facilitate. I know how to make it happen.
Yep.
But it comes down to her. She's the marketing person. She's the person. She is it. So that's really close to my heart. And I'm excited that you guys are really behind her.
100%. She's such a great person.
She is. She came down and did a clinic for Casio Interstate when we first started this thing. Yeah. She was great back then, and she's done a bunch of things since. Now she's into jewelry and all this other stuff.
Yeah, but right.
Really close. She's really close to my heart in terms of the actual how she goes about the whole business side of it. And I love that she's really passionate. And look, she didn't have to do what she did for you guys, but there was like no second guessing. There was no "I'm too busy." There was no anything about it. She's like, I know how my brand is going to build, and Geneva Supply is going to help me build it even more of what I'm doing.
And those are the people that, like, you know, for us, you know, we have a lot of huge brands that we do a lot of business with, but there's those niche opportunities that have people behind it. There's a story behind it. There's a purpose behind it. And there's an opportunity that comes from that passion and drive and the people. And I'm so willing to invest in those partnerships. It's not about, you know, where's the next $1 million coming from? It's just, you know, we're going to sell this product because of the quality of the product, because of, you know, the time that Mairead put into deciding every aspect and feature of the product. And she is tops in her profession. And to be able to buy an instrument that has been so looked at and so put together for that reason, I mean, any violinist should look into this. I mean, it should be part of what they have for a collection, because there's that much that's been put into it.
Exactly. So that's one item, the Matthias Thoma line, obviously. But it's more important that the lifestyle, for example, so we backtrack in terms of my path of the music industry itself. I was with my father for a long time, for I think 10 years, and then he passed away suddenly, and I didn't know what direction to go in because I have this big company, and I needed someone to bring me back in. And at the time, the industry also wasn't, you know, it always goes in peaks and valleys.
Yeah, all it does, the time. For sure, always. It was
in that valley right at the moment, and I partnered up with a guy who I needed somebody to say, hey, I want to go into a niche area where setting up product is important, not just sending out the product, but actually setting it up a way I need to set it up, making sure that my luthiers that I have setting up the product does it consistently, whether it's a Model 20 or it's a model, you know, Mairead model, they're set up exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And cared for in the same way. So whether it's a $200 violin or a $5,000 violin, my guys take the time and set up the way they need to set it up.
I love that.
So
that's awesome.
Me, that's my passion and my goal for Matthias Thoma. But I had a partnership with a man named Barry Kohlstein, who he has his own luthier shop, and he trained my repair guys to a way that made it a level above what a normal shop setup shop does. So I was with him, and I sell mostly private label. And then Barry is getting older and said, I don't want to be in this was 2 or 3 years ago, didn't want to be in the industry. And I've been speaking to Conley Music, and Jake is the owner of Conley, which is a pretty big company. Their main products, which you sell, are Tomastic, K&M, Realist pickups, Realist
yep.
violins,
yep.
Move it up. They have almost 15,000 SKUs, but they're the sole distributors of those. And I said, Jake, you know, you don't really have a wholesaler that's an insider to really understand the wholesale business. You have your own business, but you don't really have somebody that's a hustler. I'm a hustler.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
If you
right.
think yourself, you're a bartender, you're a hustler in college. Yeah. I own vending machines. I hustled with that in college. So I own vending machines in college. So each step of my way, I would say, you want to say who am I, or what should my, who, like, not a vice president, not a manager. I'm just a hustler. I
yeah.
find the product right for the customer that what is what they need. That's really what I am. If you guys need, you know, a left-handed flute, I'll find it, the right product, the right pads, the right item. But and again, if you needed a violin in a certain way, or a drumstick, or this or that, I know in the industry who to go. So to me, Jake was excited about this, and we've been, he gave me all the national accounts. Jake, the owner, not your Jake.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Hi, Jake. owner gave me, because I had a relationship with National Accounts anyway. So yeah. I would work with them and then work with the instruments. And then he merged my company with his company as a basic brand. And now I'm running that part of the business. So I run the Revel and I run the IMC, and I'm happy now because I have, before I really didn't have anyone. And I think it's so important also to grab ideas from your peers. And if you're running something just like yourself, you own this company, you can listen to your employees and you love their ideas. You're passionate about their ideas, but the bottom line is it's your decision. And you can say to them, hey, you have a great idea, but it's not what direction I want to go in, you know, and you're still listening though. And that to me is the most important thing. So to me, that was passionate. And you said, when a passionate thing for me, and I think you can grow with it, is the Bovada brand, the two-way humidification. I do feel it's a brand that can be on your site. It is a lifestyle brand that could be in the car world, can be in any world on your site. And really, I feel in the future, that's something, it's a small, you know, accessory, but I'm, you know, I think it's an accessory that could help grow all types of products on your site itself. I do,
totally,
I'm passionate.
Totally agree with you.
I don't know if you know, it's an American based company. They're in the cannabis and tobacco business. That's where, I don't know if you know the actual company itself.
Yep.
They tell me all the time, they're in the cannabis world, they're company that's the least amount of money that they sell is $2.1 billion.
Yeah, it's a big industry. I love your insight. I love like where you can go from talking about a $5,000 violin all the way to the details of an accessory and the value and the cross marketing and opportunity that a singular item could be in all different, you know, categories and industries. And that's why we love having you as a partner. Because we feel as though we are partners with you, and the friendships that come with it, the opportunities that come with it. And when it comes down to it, again, you're thinking about the end user, the musician, and the benefit of them having this product, what that's going to mean and where it fits in. And Jeff, I can't thank you enough for being part of the show and just sharing your journey and sharing an aspect of the music industry that a lot of people just don't talk about. They don't know about, they don't understand all the different inner workings of how things end up being in a store, being online. And there's just a lot of people that are doing a lot of things to make it happen for these musicians that, you know, to keep their passions alive and keep playing out there. So Jeff Salzman, you know, thank you so much for being part of the show, and thanks for being a friend of Interstate Music. And we're going to do great things together, man.
Of course. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. And keep the music alive. That's really what it comes down to.
It really does. It's Jeff Peterson. This is the Interstate Music Podcast. Peterson out.